You're listening to Lace Up with your host VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. Appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast. As always, we have some good stuff to talk about, some good sports topics, man, some stuff going on in the sports world. But before I get into my topics, man, I just wanted to tell you guys about some exciting news that happened for me this week. I actually ordered a new podcast kit that actually got delivered on Wednesday. So exciting, man. I got some headphones, some microphones, a couple of mixers. Man, just being able to enhance the listening experience for our listeners out there, man. It's an exciting time for me. But so check this out. I get the podcast kit. I open it up and I'm like, man, okay, cool. Everything's here, all this stuff. I'm opening up all the boxes, looking at the equipment. And then I notice there are no microphone stands. And I'm like, what? Where are the microphone stands? I have the microphone cords. I have the microphone clips, but I don't have the stands. So how am I going to record without a microphone stand? How? Where do they do that at? So I messaged the seller and I'm like, yo, I got everything in the box. I opened it up and I didn't see any microphone stands, so what's going on? And he says, well, the microphone stands are actually being shipped separately, excuse me. And I'm like, what? That's not what it said on Amazon. Amazon just showed a picture of all this nice, shiny equipment, and it was going to be coming in this kit, you know? And the kit had everything, and that's what I was expecting to get. But that didn't happen. So I was like, oh, okay. And he sends me the tracking information. It says it's going to be delivered by the end of the day on Friday. So that's cool. You know, no worries. I wasn't obviously being unruly or anything about that, but that was just what was going on in my head. I was like, man, where are the microphone stands? And I told him, I was like, you know what? I need that for my podcast, man. We got to keep the show rolling. But nevertheless, those microphone stands will be here soon. And I'll be able to play around with this stuff over the weekend, man. And it'll be exciting to, again, be able to enhance the experience for you guys. So let's jump into our topics, man. So first off, I just wanted to start off by highlighting LaMarcus Aldridge. He actually retired from the NBA after 15 years because of an irregular heartbeat. So LaMarcus Aldridge made this announcement the other day, and again had to end up retiring. It was pretty sudden and unexpected. As we all know, he just joined the Brooklyn Nets, and this is tough news to hear. But my thoughts and prayers go out to LaMarcus Aldridge and being able to, you know, make this decision right now and before it becomes too detrimental. And you wouldn't want to have him out there on the basketball court and something happened, especially with an irregular heartbeat. So it's great that they were able to catch this early and he was able to make this decision after he's devoted 15 years of his life to this game. He actually made a statement through a letter to the fans. And this reads, he says, "Today I write this letter with a heavy heart. My last game I played while dealing with an irregular heartbeat. Later on that night, my rhythm got even worse, which really worried me even more. The next morning, I told the team what was going on, and they were great getting me to the hospital and getting me checked out. Though I'm better now, what I felt with my heart that night was still one of the scariest things I've ever experienced. With that being said, I've made the difficult decision to retire from the NBA. For 15 years, I put basketball first, and now it is time to put my health and family first. I'm thankful for everything this game has given me, the great memories, including all the ups and the downs, and the friendships I made and will keep with me forever. I thank Portland for drafting a skinny Texas kid and giving him a chance. The city of Portland has given me some unforgettable years. They will always remain in my heart. I want to thank the Spurs for letting me into the family and giving me 5 fun years. Last but not least, I wanted to thank Brooklyn. You wanted me for me in a game that's changing so much. You asked me to come and just do what I do, which was good to hear. I'm sorry it didn't get to last long, but I'll definitely have fun being a part of this special group. You never know when something will come to an end, so make sure you enjoy it every day. I can truly say I did just that. That was a very heartfelt letter from LaMarcus Aldridge. And again, thank God that he was able to make this decision. They were able to get him to the hospital, get this stuff checked out, man. And again, player safety and player health is the most important thing, man. So LaMarcus, hats off to you, man. Shout out to you. Thank you for everything that you devoted to the game and giving us some 15 years of good, solid basketball. So with that being said, man, let's jump into our other topics, man. So Justin Fields actually held his second pro day in which he had some teams in attendance. Not all 32 teams, but there were teams in attendance for this pro day number 2. As we all know, the 49ers were really the ones who kind of spearheaded and jump started this pro day, this second pro day for Justin Fields. He after they missed the first one due to a scheduling issue, they were actually in Tuscaloosa seeing Mac Jones's pro day, so they did not get an opportunity to go see Justin Fields. So this was again jump started by them. So of course they were in attendance with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. The Panthers were in attendance. The Broncos, the Patriots, and the Bears were also confirmed to be in attendance. At first, the Bears were actually not one of the teams that were mentioned to be in attendance for this pro day, but after a picture surfaced showing head coach Matt Nagy at the pro day, that's how the news and the word got out that the Bears were in attendance. Now, Fields' pro day was a private workout, but since then, a video has surfaced showing him throwing the passes and going through some of the different drills and workouts in which he looked like the Justin Fields that we know. Looked the same in his first pro day, making some nice long, great throws in these drills that from what the video was showing and what the tape was showing. Now, reports have highlighted that Kyle Shanahan, again, and I've mentioned this on my show last week, that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are at a crossroads with who to select with the third pick between Mac Jones and Justin Fields. So a lot of people are penciling in Mac Jones to be the third overall pick. And this is coming after the 49ers traded with the Miami Dolphins to move up to that third pick. So many draft boards have, again, Mac Jones going there. Others are questioning, should it be Justin Fields? But people don't actually have, there's not a lot of mock drafts out there where I've actually seen Justin Fields at that third pick. They all have him falling to 8th or being picked at 12 by the Patriots. That's the lowest that I've seen him go is 12 outside of the top 10, which is actually mind blowing because of what Justin Fields can bring to the table. But, they're at this crossroads, and many are already believing that the 49ers have made their selection to take Mac, and that they're just doing this and they wanted to do this second pro day to do their due diligence, you know, to attend and see Fields up close, which I hate that whole narrative that they're just doing their due diligence. I don't necessarily agree with that. When you move up to the third pick in the draft, you have to be 100% sure that you want the guy that you want, you know, whoever that may be. And so I don't think that they just go out and call for this second pro day just to go down there and say, oh, well, we went to check off the box and say that we did it. If they are, then that's insane to me. But it's hard for me to believe that, but it is a possibility. You can't put anything past it. Again, to check off that box and say, hey, we did everything that we could. We saw what Fields did in person. It didn't really wow us, but we like Mac Jones better. Just to say that they actually did it. Okay, due diligence, whatever. Okay. Now, other teams that were in attendance are actually try to see and figure out, you know, what do they need to do if Justin Fields happens to fall beyond that third pick, if he's falling beyond that fourth pick? What do they need to do to move up in this draft to be able to acquire him, a guy of his talent? Going into, obviously, it would take to get up into the top 10 with all the teams that were in attendance, the teams that were there to see Justin Fields. They are all trying to figure out how they're going to get up there. Now the Bears, with being the lowest at that 20th pick, have to find a way to be able to get up into that top 10. Again, I've mentioned before getting on the phone with the Atlanta, who's come out and said that they would entertain and would be willing to move down from that fourth pick. So they have to find a way to get up there, whether that's offering draft picks or, and a player. We saw them getting aggressive to trying to get Russell Wilson. So, you know, nothing is off the table when it comes to them in a desperation mode that they're in right now. Now, for me, you know, with this whole the pro day, and I'm going to get into more into that, but I've said this before, more man, what more does Justin Fields have to really prove? You know, I get the whole pro day thing. I get they want to see him in person. But what more does the man have to prove, y'all? Seriously, what does he have to prove? Look, watch the tape. Watch the tape. Pull the tape up. Watch it. It tells you everything you need to know. Watch the tape. Again, I mentioned this at the end of my last show and my final segment, man. It's this black quarterback stereotype, guys. It's going there saying, you know what, is he really going to go out there and be a hard worker? Can he really operate an NFL style offense? Can he stand in the pocket and make the throws? Can he be disciplined? It's just these, you know, just watch the tape. Watch it. I mean, we're talking about a guy at Ohio State who completed 70% of his passes, threw over 5,373 yards, 63 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. And again, he's the only player in Big Ten history with at least 40 passing touchdowns and 10 rushing touchdowns in the same season. And that came in 2019. His arm strength, accuracy, high IQ, his toughness, it's all there. It's all on the tape. He can maneuver in the pocket and he can kill you with his legs. So what more does he have to prove in a pro day? What more does he have to prove? And this brings up a great question here. Should these quarterback pro days have that much of an impact on the decision making heading into the NFL draft? And me personally, no. I don't think that these pro days should have that much of an impact. I get it. You know, they want to see and be able to analyze how quickly they can process what they want them to do in these drills and how well they can make certain throws. I get it. Okay. But watch the tape. I'm going to say this 1,000 times. Watch the tape. It's not like the quarterbacks are throwing in these pro days. It's not like they're throwing with pressure in their faces like they would have in an actual game. Nobody's with helmet and shoulder pads coming at them and pressuring them and doing all this stuff. They're really just doing these drills. So, again, that benefit that you get, the only really benefit for me is, you know, seeing how fast and quickly they can process the drill that you tell them to do, you know, or hit that route. You know, I get it, y'all. But for me, from a quarterback standpoint, I think pro days benefit more running backs, defensive backs, other players in those positions. But with the quarterback position, with you not really being out there and really having necessarily that pressure, I think that tape can really speak for itself. And you know, you may not agree with me on that, but that's just my personal opinion in regards to how people blow up the pro days. And I'm not knocking them, but what I'm saying is I don't feel like you should utilize a pro day to make your final decision on whether or not you like a guy. You think that he can provide value to your offense and to what you're trying to do and the direction that you're trying to move forward in. If you have a guy that has the talent that fits well in your offense and he's coachable, you can shape and mold him into who you want him to be when he gets into your camp. Let's not get blinded by these pro days, y'all. Again, they're cool to watch, to see them make these throws, but we've seen them do this in live action during the games while we're watching them on Saturdays. So, yeah, you know, that's just how I feel. But moving on, Stephen Curry has passed Wilt Chamberlain on the Warriors' all-time scoring list, y'all. Yes, on Monday night, Stephen Curry passed Wilt Chamberlain as the Warriors' all-time scoring leader, and he's dropped 53 points in the win over the Nuggets. So Wilt Chamberlain's previous record was 17,783 points. Curry now owns this record with 17,818 points and counting. And I say counting because he could be hitting a three right now as I'm talking. Steph Curry is just unbelievable, man. To see where he started in his career, man, after being drafted, even before draft being drafted, man, watching him as a young young guy coming out in Davidson, and not a lot of people really talking about him, and just how he lit it up, man. Just being able to, just thinking back years back when I was younger and looking at that tournament that he was in. Man, he really shocking the world, you know, and nearly had his guys in the championship game. You know, they could have very well gotten to the Natty that year at Davidson. So, man, it's just a great accomplishment for Steph, and I'm glad to see him continue to just elevate, man, and continue to show why he's one of the most lethal shooters that we've seen in NBA history, you know. And Steph Curry came out and said, man, you know, it's crazy. He said, anytime you hear his name, it's kind of daunting because you know his records are so hard and hard to accomplish, and some of them are even impossible to eclipse. You understand how great of a player he was. Curry also went on to say, it's surreal, it's wild, because if you grow up in the game of basketball, you hear his name, you know it's something extremely special no matter what it is. Now, his record-setting basket came on a layup with a minute and 40 seconds left in the first quarter. He actually only needed 19 points to surpass Wilt, but he finished with 21 in the first quarter. He finished the game 14 for 24 from the field, 10 of 18 from three, and 15 of 16 from the line. He also, check this out, became the seventh player in NBA history to record multiple seasons with three or more 50-point games. And this also marked the 18th time in his career that he made 10 or more threes in a game. So Stephen Curry just lighting up the stat sheet, man, just entering the record books. this guy's unbelievable, man. I just look forward to him continuing on in his career and to see how everything plays out, especially when he's able to get Klay back next year, how the Warriors will, you know, bounce back. And they, you know, took a blow, and this year, just with Curry and Draymond being there with a younger squad. So, again, it'll be exciting to see, you know, how the rest of his career pans out as they continue to just get back at full strength. And moving on, so let's go back to the NFL. So let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. So what should the Atlanta Falcons do with the fourth pick in the draft? So like I just mentioned, they own the fourth pick in the 2021 NFL draft. They're being led by their new general manager and head coach. General manager is Terry Fontenot and head coach is Arthur Smith. So, as I mentioned earlier and stated before in previous shows, the Atlanta Falcons would consider trading down in this draft if they do not stay put at the fourth pick. Now, some mock drafts have them taking Trey Lance or Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida, if they indeed stay put. So, let's talk about this a little bit, man. And before we get into more in depth on what I feel like they should do, let's talk about their actual team needs. So there are a plethora of team needs for the Atlanta Falcons. So that being edge, secondary, their offensive line, and running back. So let's break down each of these categories, shall we? So their edge needs. So they need to generate more of a pass rush. The Atlanta Falcons were at the bottom of the league in regards to their pass rush. It was pretty much non-existent. No defender on the Falcons had more than 4.5 sacks, and that number of 4.5 sacks actually came from their linebacker, Deion Jones. They actually signed Dante Fowler Jr. To a 3-year, $45 million contract. And what did he do? He finished with just 3 sacks last year. The Falcons were 19th. In pressure in the NFL, which was below average. So again, they need to address that edge, address their needs to find a consistent, effective pass rush. Next up, their secondary. So they have a suspect secondary right now. So they were one of 9 teams with fewer than $20 million devoted to safety in the cornerback rooms. Only the Lions actually allowed more total completions of 15 plus yards last season. So again, questionable secondary, give up a lot of big plays. They lost some guys, man, and again, they're young group. So it's, again, like I said, suspect. Need to address some issues there. And running back. So they actually released Ito Smith, and Todd Gurley and Brian Hill are free agents at this time. So currently there's a need there, a hole, a gap to fill the running back position. They have not been a team that has run the football very well over the past couple years. They've pretty much overshadowed that with just being able to be a team that's been effective passing the football. And last but not least, their offensive line. They have a young offensive line, need to address this here. They need to add more talent to this offensive line. Matt Ryan was sacked 41 times in 2020, which was 5th. In the NFL. So that's unacceptable. Matt Ryan sitting there on his back, 5th most out of the quarterbacks in the league. Again, need to address that. It does not matter who they have back there. If they cannot protect them, it does not matter. So I just went over their team needs. Let's talk about the draft and what they should do. So I'm actually not confident. A lot of people, even though I feel that they need to take a quarterback, I'm not confident that the Falcons will select the quarterback, even though I believe they should. However, history with this team and in this organization shows that they still believe in Matt Ryan wholeheartedly. They're not ready to give up. Now, let's talk about Matt Ryan's last 4 seasons, because he hasn't been horrible. He's thrown for 107 touchdowns, 44 interceptions, and a 66.4% completion rate percentage, and a 96.3 passer rating. So not bad numbers at all. I mean, they're solid numbers over his past 40 seasons. I get it. But you need to start, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, you need to start thinking in the future. You have to start thinking about your future. Matt Ryan's going to be 36 years old at the start of the season. How much more does Matt Ryan have left? How much more do you think Matt Ryan is going to play? What do you think you're going to get, 5-6 more years of football? Because I'm here to tell you, it's not going to happen. It's not. To all my diehard Falcons fans, you guys know it in your heart. A lot of y'all don't even like Matt Ryan. A lot of y'all are praying that the Falcons take a quarterback. You're hoping and praying with everything that you got in your body. Why not invest in a quarterback now when you have the perfect chance? You mean to tell me with the 4th pick, you guys are going to take a tight end? I get it. Kyle Pitts is talented. He's the best tight end in this draft. He's like a wide receiver. You can treat him as both tight end and a wide receiver. He can line out wide, out wide, and he could play the tight end position effectively. But you're not going to sit up here and tell me they're going to take a tight end with the 4th pick. If they do that, they're crazy. They're crazy. I'm just going to go out and say it. They are crazy if they do that. They're absolutely insane if they make that decision to take a tight end. I mean, come on, man. Seriously? So, again, I get it. They're a really good passing team with Matt Ryan, but you have to invest in another quarterback at some point. They were top half in the NFL in offensive efficiency, but there's still no reliable backup at quarterback. if Matt Ryan happens to go down, who's coming in at quarterback? Can anybody even tell me who the backup quarterback is right now? It was Matt Schaub last year, but I don't think Matt Schaub is even there anymore. So who's the backup quarterback right now? If Matt Ryan goes down, what are you going to do? Are they going to roll Julio Jones out there at quarterback? Are they going to start letting Julio take some snaps at quarterback in practice? Like, what is the plan? There's no plan if Ryan goes down. Because if that happens, and I'm not hoping that happens at all, but if he happens to be injured, and let's say it's at a critical moment in the season, and you don't have a reliable backup, I'm not saying necessarily that a rookie is going to necessarily come in and save the day, but you never know. You know, it's better than nothing having somebody who's Matt Schaub's like 50. You know, like, what would Matt Schaub have done if he's still there? And what is he going to do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, again, I think they need to be smart about this. I'm not confident that they will. Let's talk about what they should do. So with what I've just explained and what I said before, so since I don't think that they're going to draft a quarterback with this pick, I think that they should trade down and acquire more draft picks to address their other major team needs. Okay, I just told you guys the needs already. Again, those needs at edge, secondary, offensive line, and running back. And another need for me is, again, quarterback. But like I said, don't think that they're going to do that, go that route. But again, why not trade down? Imagine how many picks that you can get for that fourth round pick. You can at least get future first round draft picks. And they could target a quarterback later in the draft if they find another guy that they like and that they think that they could, shape it and mold under Matt Ryan. That's the route I think that the Falcons should go. Trade down, again, get those future first rounders, address your team needs, and go from there. Because obviously, like I said, they're not ready to pull the plug on Matt Ryan. And even drafting a quarterback, I'm not saying if they drafted one, he should be the starter. I'm not saying pull Matt Ryan as soon as they draft the quarterback. But you got to have somebody. But again, they're not going to take that route. They'll take their chances. We know we can see this happening. You know, I just see the Falcons going this route, trading down, acquiring those picks, saying they added some depth and added some talent in those areas that they need the talent in. Probably go get another wide receiver, you know, in a heavy wide receiver draft, and you just build from there. And hey, see what happens. Maybe you find a diamond in the rough in one of the late round or mid round guys that you could draft at quarterback. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But let's continue to move on and let's talk about this stacked wide receiver group. So I'm just gonna run down a little bit about some of these wide receivers that are in this rookie class. I'm not going to go over all of them, but I'll go over six of the top prospects coming out of the draft right now that teams will have their eyes on. So first, let's go with Ja'Marr Chase. So he had 84 catches, 1,780 yards, and 20 touchdowns in 2019. As we all know, he did opt out for the 2020 season with COVID. He's a physical guy, and he can make those contested catches, a wide receiver that anybody would like on their team with his physicality. Devontae Smith had over 3,000 yards receiving, 37 touchdowns over the past 2 years. He had only 5 drops and 189 catchable passes in the past 2 years. He's an exceptional route runner, and he has great hands. Jalen Waddle, his 3.57 yards per route run over his career is the highest of any wide receiver in the draft class. This guy is lightning speed, and he's very athletic. So we've all seen how explosive Jalen Waddle is in the open field. Rashad Bateman, a wide receiver coming out of Minnesota, he actually broke 37 tackles on 147 receptions in his time at Minnesota. He only dropped 19 of 166 catchable balls. He's physical and he has the ability to make a man miss, and he's a smooth route runner. Terrence Marshall Jr. Out of LSU, he's had 106 receptions, 1,594 yards receiving, and 23 touchdowns. He has had touchdowns on 21.6% of his catches, and he's had double-digit touchdowns in each of the last 2 years. He's a speedy guy. He has good speed, and he has a great catch radius. And last but not least, Rondale Moore out of Purdue. Rondale Moore is 174 pounds, and he can squat 600 pounds. So he's a pretty solid guy. He's had 178 receptions, 1,915 yards, and 14 touchdowns at his time at Purdue. He's very strong, so he has good strength, and he's physical. And he has some pretty good speed as well. So looking at just this stack wide receiver class, people, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see where everybody lands up, man. Again, you can't really go wrong with these wide receivers. It's so stacked across the board. And I think we'll see a lot of teams double up on wide receivers and get themselves just more weapons for their quarterbacks. And why not now? You know, this is a perfect time to be able to get a couple wide receivers for a young quarterback. And to be able to just allow them to maximize their talent and give them the help that they need, because there's value and it's so much value in having a good route runner, a smooth route runner, somebody who can actually catch, who understands the game, and that's what these quarterbacks need, especially the younger guys coming out, and those younger guys that are still in the league that are emerging as starting quarterbacks now, they're going to need those weapons. And so that's just my take. You know, it's one of those things where you don't see wide receiver classes like this all, you know, happen every year. You know, these are once in, you know, every few years we have stacked classes like these. So we'll see what happens. And last but not least, man, I just wanted to touch real quick on the NBA. So what impact will players sitting out games have on the playoffs? So as we all know, there have been some players that have sat out or taking personal days, with Kyrie being one of those guys. I know that they're resting Kevin Durant as well in Brooklyn, as well as Blake Griffin. Just for injury management, load management, whatever you want to call it. There are other players that have been resting around the league. So, you know, what impact is this going to have going on in the playoffs? And I think that it would have somewhat of an impact just because we haven't consistently seen these teams having full strength throughout the entirety of the year. You know, there are injuries that mount up and things that happen, but with them not all, you know, collectively being on the court at full strength majority of the time, it's going to be interesting how the playoffs pan out. Are we going to get rusty series, you know, kind of sloppy series in the beginning, or will it pan out? Or will the fact that they come in healthy, will it allow the matchups to be better? You know, with less injuries and less players banged up, will it turn out to be a, you know, more interesting and exciting playoffs than what we were expecting? You know, it for me, it's up in the air. You know, it's only time will tell. You know, as we go into the playoffs, we'll see what happens. But all I can hope is that all the, you know, teams are at full strength. Well, we do know, obviously, not every single team. I know Jamal Murray just went out with the torn ACL for Denver, so that was a huge loss for them. I think James Wiseman actually went out with a torn ACL as well, and he's out for the season. Oh, actually, yes, he's missing the rest of the season after he had surgery on his knee. It was a torn meniscus, so he's going to be out for the season. That was with the Warriors. You know, the Warriors, you're not necessarily one of those teams that we're expecting to be in the finals or make a deep run, but yeah, man, you know, there's injuries that mount up, but again, it's going to be Very, very interesting to see how this thing turns out and to see how these series shake up, man. But hey, we can only hope that we'll get high level basketball in our favorite time of the year during the NBA. And that's the playoffs. But hey, that's all I have for you guys, man. I appreciate everybody again tuning in as always each and every week, man. Keep rocking with me, man. Got some great stuff in store for you guys, man. So continue to rock with me on this thing, man. As always, I'll be back next week to give you guys some good, healthy sports talk. Be blessed. Peace.